Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Yay! How are you doing, everybody? Good you're here. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Pretty good.
Yeah? What'd you have for dinner last night?
What did I have for dinner last night?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Oh, that memorable. All right.
It's a good question. What did I have for dinner last night?
I'm sure steak.
No.
Pasta.
Am I on the air? Because if I'm on the air, please stop this. Right now, please.
Now you know how I feel.
I was stalling because I didn't hear Ken, so I thought there was a connection
issue. I don't think there was a connection issue because I said some things and nobody responded, so they must not have had my volume up.
Okay, you weren't on the air. What would you like to talk about?
Whose screw up is that? Eric Sklar, get out of there. What are you doing?
You were on the air. Nothing was coming over the air, though.
I did. I said several things, and John didn't respond, and he just kept talking, so you did not have me up.
Oh, so, I thought you were pissed off about something.
I'll repeat what I said. I said, do you feel like you're in limbo? That's what I said. And you were probably perplexed. That is the headline in the El Segundo Times about the mayor's election that doesn't have a result. Yes. L.A. residents feel that they're in limbo. And you're an L.A. resident. I'm asking you, are you really on edge and feel like you're in limbo because you just don't know who the next mayor is yet?
Well, limbo is supposed to be that place after you die and you haven't yet gone to heaven or hell. You're in that, like the committee is determining your application.
Also
it's
known
like
as?
A waiting room.
From Catholic school, also known as?
What?
Purgatory.
Purgatory, right.
That's a great word for my catechism.
Do I feel like I'm in purgatory right now? Well, I always feel that way.
You are between worlds.
Every day when I wake up, it's like, oh, I'm still in purgatory. It's not quite hell, but this isn't pleasant.
That's because you don't accept the real world.
It's not
real to you. It's too crazy.
It's too stupid.
So there must be another world you're waiting for,
Exactly. Therefore
you're stuck between the two.
That's right.
I get it now. I get
it. By the way, that encapsulates my entire existence since I was as far back as I could remember. I always felt, I shouldn't be here. Even when I was 5 years old, it's like something's wrong. I was left in the wrong place. Spaceship took off without me.
Yep. Some crazy stork just dropped you down the chimney.
I know. So, no, I didn't notice anybody suffering today being in limbo.
Yeah, limbo to me means people just walk around in a daze. They don't know what to do with their lives because we don't have a mayor officially yet or a new mayor.
We haven't had one for 9.5 years.
That's exactly the point.
It's just another day.
This is stupid. They haven't counted more than 1 million votes in LA County.
Okay. I got to tell you, I was doing some research today.
Yes, so was I.
We have by far, even when you adjust for population difference, by far the most races that have not been called or counted one way or the other. I think there's 33 house races, for example, that have not been called.
14. Yeah, when you say not counted, you make it sound like they haven't counted one vote.
Counted enough so you could get an idea who won, right? Enough to call the race. All right, we're 12% of the population. 14 out of the 33 outstanding house races are in California.
That's pretty pathetic.
That's what, about 40%. It's because of our system. It's the worst system in the country. And I looked at most states have all their races accounted for.
Here's what LA County is saying. And this paragraph got me a little bit. Just after 3:30 a.m. yesterday morning, the county said it counted 1,318,093 ballots. That's all the people that voted in person like you and all the mail ballots received before Election Day like me. But all the mail ballots they got on Election Day and then the ones that are going to be coming in for the next 6 days, they think so far it's at least 985,000.
Mm-hmm.
That tells you how many people either just dropped them off on Election Day or mailed them on Election Day or mailed them off the day before. So that's the imbalance that they're dealing with. There's almost as many people voting by mail like on Election Day or the day before. But you told people to do that. You advise people to wait, even if you're doing a mail-in ballot. Don't fill it out until we see what happens.
Run the race.
In the closing days.
Run the race. I got a lot of complicated thoughts on this. I do think.
But I put the voter guide up a month ago. I think we're pretty solid on that.
No, because people are. Yeah, if you're going to follow what we say, sure, then you could vote a month ahead of time.
Yeah, there was no changing those opinions, and they didn't change.
We actually didn't have that many candidates picked.
We didn't. No.
And mostly it was the propositions, and the propositions aren't going to change.
Right.
But the thing is, I think it's fair to say if 49 other states don't have this problem, and we do, it's us.
What about Arizona and Nevada? They seem to be having a slow count for that Senate race in each state. Aren't they kind of slow, too?
They are kind of slow.
Yeah, I saw one was still at 77% or something.
Okay, they're at 77% or so in Arizona. I think the Nevada Senate race is at 84%.
Yeah.
Here in L.A., what do we have, more than half the votes? Not counted?
What are some of the congressional races at, I wonder? In Orange County, there's still some undecided.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I could look that up, but I can't get to it this minute. But right. What I'm saying is we have a bad system, okay? Florida was wrapped up real fast. Most of the states around the country where they had close races.
But you told me in Florida they don't vote by mail much.
Right. Well,
it's still like an absentee ballot thing. You have to apply for it.
That reduces all this crap. Right, but you have to send in your request before 10 days of the election. But they also had record turnouts. All these states had record turnouts. This was a high turnout election. Our turnout here wasn't that great.
Well, 2020 was a bigger turnout than this year.
Yes, but for a midterm election, for this type of election. A lot of states had a big turnout. And there's also the three-day rule has come into play again here. And you saw this story because I think you found it. But it turns out that the Republican congressional vote is actually larger than it was during the great Tea Party wave of 2010. But the votes were allocated differently in the districts. And the Republicans didn't win nearly as many districts, even though they had a somewhat greater percentage of the vote. Now, isn't that odd? But
is that because they're more likely to vote?
Yes, but they had here. Let me give you the exact numbers. Here and babble. As of Thursday morning, Republicans had 52.3% of the vote. So Republicans lead by 6 points.
Oh, this is like the nationwide vote.
Nationwide vote.
Right.
It's almost the same margin as in 2010. When they had the 50 million votes. Republicans got 50 million votes. In 2010, Republicans had 44 million votes.
There's more people now. So
52.3% of the vote nationally versus 51.3% of the vote in 2010. But in 2010, the Republicans won 63 seats. They flipped 63 seats. Right now, the Republicans, I think, flipped 9. So how do you get more votes, a greater percentage of votes, and you flip 9 seats compared to 63?
Did you say they did redistrict this year, right?
Well, that, I think, is the key. Because a lot of states I think all the states redrew the lines.
They did,
because
yeah.
of the 2020 census. That's the law. You have to rebalance the state to account for population changes.
Right.
And so I don't know if the Democratic states were better at this than the Republican states, but somehow the districts got drawn so that there's more Republican votes, a higher percentage of Republican votes, but far less seats.
Well, back to what you were saying about what's funny about this El Segundo Times story. By the end of it, the generations have flipped. For decades, reliably accurate pre-election and exit polling helped shape election night calls, giving news organizations and researchers a quicker picture of who would prevail. But pre-election polling grew less accurate. The internet made cheaper online polling with non-random sampling more readily available. Exit polls don't hold the weight they used to. And now, sometimes the results... Oh, here's the quote. The older a voter is, the more they're getting to be used to instant gratification on election night. The younger a voter is, the more they've lived in this newer world where the networks are not making calls quickly, where the polls are not trusting predictors of an election, and where voting by mail is prevalent. They are more patient than the older folks. That's what I meant by generation flipping.
I understand. But is it...
This guy says, calm down and give the election staff time to do their job.
Not if they're incompetent or crooked.
Oh, this is Kim Alexander, president of the Nonpartisan California Voter Foundation.
When you're the only state to have this gigantic a difference between votes cast and votes counted, it means we have a bad, inefficient system. I mean, look who we have. We were just talking about it a few minutes ago. Dean Logan running the vote counting here in L.A. County. The guy was involved in some huge scandal up in Seattle. He comes here. He's been involved in a couple of scandals here. It was his department that mysteriously couldn't find enough recall votes for Mike Bonin.
They have 7 days
for Gascon, I should say.
Oh, Bonin.
Bonin was the city.
Yeah, they have 7 days, so they're not going to end this until at least next Tuesday or Wednesday. That's the shutdown. The shutoff of getting mail-in ballots.
That's a bad system. Okay, mail-in votes are all over the place. We have a bad system. We don't have enough workers, or they've made it too complicated. Who knows what it is? But there's no reason that we would have had a world where you could get all the results by the next morning. And I can remember when I was a little kid, because I would watch election nights as a little kid, and I knew the next morning the result was in. So when I was a little kid, the system worked, and now it doesn't? No.
All right, we got your keyword coming up next. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. I was just looking at a headline in the El Segundo Times. Where is my inflation cash relief money? You know, the state's handing out money to people, more bribe money. It started right before the election, but they haven't handed out nearly, I don't think, not even half of it yet. So there must be people calling and emailing, where's my money? I hear this story about money. Where's my money?
Yeah, well, they're just bad at everything, aren't they? But
yeah, life.
Go earn money.
They're going to regret handing out all this money when they run into a massive deficit sometime in the future. I realize today's the wrong day to say that because the stock market took off incredibly this morning thanks to the inflation numbers.
Which are still really bad.
They are bad. We'll talk about that later. His name is Johnny Enchondo. Who is Johnny Enchondo? Well, that's the guy that, let's just say, monopolized like the last hour or so of our show last night, who got involved in the police chases because he was stealing. Not only first he stole a van, then he stole a pickup truck, and it ended right after we went off the air with gunfire at a gas station in Hacienda Heights. Johnny Enchondo, 32, at least this part, of Moreno Valley. So probably not homeless, but
no.
If you put money on a parolee, you win. He is a parolee. We don't know yet for what, but that's
a
the
parolee.
First thing. The first thing you hit him with charge was violating his parole.
He's no longer a danger to society. We feel comfortable that he will successfully integrate into the world.
That's right. He's paid his price. He's done his time.
That's right. He's ready.
As Mayor Garcetti once famously said, thank him for his service.
Yes. That everyone deserves a second chance. The guy steals three cars in a night and smashed a number. I don't know how many total he ended up smashing along the way. Because he was
driving a black Honda Civic, and they saw him swerving and doing things they thought was maybe drunk. So they tried to pull him over. This is in Fullerton. And that's when things got crazy, because he drives into Anaheim. He gets out of that car, and then he jumps into that van. And then eventually, when that van, and that van's pretty much destroyed, as you know, the tire was down to its rims, and it was smoking and flaming.
And he smashed a police car repeatedly with that van.
So then he ends up, of course, jumping into that family's home in Whittier. Somehow he noticed, I guess, the keys on a rack, the car keys, and he took the pickup truck, the family pickup truck. I understand, I think they're landscapers is what I read, the family.
Yeah.
And that's the last vehicle he was driving when they finally nabbed him at this gas station, where they, the way this unfolded, people thought he was dead because they opened fire on him, but he it seems like nobody was hit by the gunfire. I guess it was just used.
Was it real gunfire, or was it the non-lethal?
It's a good question. I don't know. It's described as gunfire, but
there was a lot of holes in the window, I noticed, but he would have gotten hit.
All reports that I saw said that it was less than lethal rounds.
Oh, all right. Oh. Enough to break through the glass.
Yes. And I did see blood coming from his forehead on the video last night.
Oh,
he
good.
Had a slight injury to his wrist, they say. He was taken to a hospital.
There's no
He's
justice.
Now in custody. Another guy got hurt. Adrian Cruz was a bystander. He was stopped at a traffic signal in Hacienda Heights when a crazy guy bumped into him, bumped into his sedan. A law enforcement vehicle then pushed the pickup truck further into his car. So he gets out to see what's going on. And he also says to maybe make sure his family would be safe. And that's when he says the deputies attacked him.
Oh, the cops
swarmed him and took him to the ground. Yeah.
No, I saw that because I had thought that somehow, because the thief was acting like Houdini all night getting away, and suddenly there was a guy getting pummeled in the middle of the street, and I thought, did he slip out a passenger side door and then, you know, the cops finally nabbed him? And no, this guy was driving his wife and kid.
Yes.
And he was trying to get into the car and pull his wife and kid out, because by then the shots were being fired. He thought they were gunshots, and the cops were beating the poo out of him. And he was on TV, and he had a big bruise and cut underneath his eye, and he kept going, this wasn't right. This is not right. It's like, yeah, you're right. This is not right. Why'd the cops beat you up? You didn't do anything. The hell's wrong?
They said he refused to move out of their line of fire.
He was trying to rescue his wife and kid. What sheriff's department was that? Was that L.A. Sheriff's Department or Orange County?
Ended up being the L.A. County Sheriff's Department.
Wow.
They picked up the chase eventually, and that's where I think it ended with them.
Well, that was bad.
Well, let's listen to this guy. We got him in cut one here, 54 seconds of Adrian Cruz.
The sheriff's smashing into his car. One of them smashed into my car and immediately started shooting guns. It just sounded crazy, like a war zone. Blah, blah, blah. I got out the car immediately. I don't want my son and my wife to get part of that. So as soon as I get out the car, the cops just smashed me, start socking me up, smashing me like if I was the dude that stole the car. They immediately throw me in cuffs and they're dragging me around and bumping my head, hitting my head. Did not have to happen that way. I had nothing to do with it. We're just bystanders getting out of their way. Instead, they went and attacked me brutally, you know, in front of my family, in front of everybody. And that's not right. You know, it's not right.
Oh, we talked to the sheriff's department. They give us a comment on what happened. They tell us that Cruz refused to leave the area, so they then took action. Cruz says he was just trying to get his family out of the line of fire.
Yeah. Right, that's from CBS, too.
That was bad.
All right, well, we got more on this, including that poor family in Whittier where this guy marched into their home.
Although, GoFundMe, $60,000 he's getting.
The guy Cruz?
Yeah.
I was wondering if he was going to hire a law firm, too.
No, not Cruz. The guy with the truck. The guy who had the truck stolen.
Oh, the family with the truck.
Andres Benitez, yeah.
He just bought that truck about, 3 weeks ago?
He's at 60,000.
How bad is the shape of the truck in? Because we know the van got pretty totaled.
I don't know. I mean, I imagine there was a lot of damage, but I don't know. Because the police car smashed into it at the end.
And didn't that car lose a tire as well? Wasn't he running on one of the rims?
Yeah, he was. Oh, we'll get to that next.
Yeah, we'll hear from both of them. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Coming up at 3 o'clock, Tracy Park is going to be on. She's got a 10-point lead to replace the evil, vile Mike Bonin.
What time's she coming on?
3 o'clock.
All right, because at 4:30, that could change. The county is releasing the latest vote results between 4:30 and 5 today.
Well,
they moved it up a day.
At the moment, she's 10 points up.
One of our listeners thinks it's because they didn't realize tomorrow's Veterans Day and they're probably not working. I don't know. Tomorrow, I think Monday's the holiday, but I think tomorrow is actually 11-11 is usually Veterans Day.
Oh, so. What day are they working?
I don't know what day. They have both days off.
election was Tuesday. It's Thursday now. What have they been doing? Anyway, Tracy Park's going to be on. She was leading Erin Darling by 10 points with the first round of votes that came in, which is a nice start.
Well, that lead will hold until we see what happens between 4:30 and 5 with the new vote results for any race in L.A. County. That's the only ones we'll get. The other registrars, I don't know what's going on in Orange County, the other places where they're still trying to figure out some congressional races.
Does L.A. County release those votes? I guess so, huh?
Yes,
yeah,
they are responsible for all voting in the county. That is correct. It does not go through the city clerk of Los Angeles.
Because the recall went through the city.
I remember that, but yeah. I did hear this morning that the county handles all of the voting
from
any town or city that's in the county.
They're so good at it.
The Moist line is back tomorrow, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Or connect to the iHeartRadio app using the microphone icon. All right, so we'll begin because this was probably the most dramatic part of yesterday's crazy chase involving a guy who stole a couple of vehicles, a van followed by a work truck, a pickup truck, before they stopped him at a gas station in Hacienda Heights. And to get that second vehicle, which was the pickup truck, the work truck, he had to break into a family's home in Whittier. And eventually he commandeered the keys from, I guess, a rack in the kitchen or somewhere in the house and made his way out there and started up the truck and took off. Here is Andres Benitez. It looked like three family members were involved, and I guess three dogs were there, too. Anyway, Andres is the son, and here's how it went, this report we get from Fox 11, Gita Silva.
You know, I had just gotten home from work. Like, literally 10 minutes it happened. I got home from work, and 10 minutes after it happened, you know.
Describe what happened. I understand he broke into your home.
So I was in the kitchen, you know, just having a normal conversation with my mother. I already was aware of the helicopters because my brother had called me. He's like, hey, something's going on. But I didn't really care about that. You know, I was just trying to get going on with my day. So I was in the kitchen just drinking an energy drink. My mom was in the couch. We're talking and then we just seen the back door open. And that back door is never supposed to open no matter what. Like, so when I seen it open, my first reaction was someone's getting in the house, you know. And knowing my mother's in the house, I'm going to defend the house, you know. So I literally just grabbed the kitchen knife, the one that's right there. I got it to a point where, you know, I made sure that he felt threatened. And I told him, I started cussing at him, but I told him, like, you got to get out the house, man, or I'm going to have to stab you, like, right now. And when I told him that, he got a little bit, like, you know, he felt threatened. He put his hands up, and he kept saying, please, please, you know. So I started leading him just to get out the house, to the door. So I was leading him out with the knife like this. But the whole time I had my mother, you know, just holding me back to just let him go. But I didn't, like, just want to let him go out that easy. So as I was leading him out right here, I saw that he started going through my keys, and that's when I got really mad. My mom saw that I was going all in, and she just kept throwing herself on me. She put her. That's why she ended up getting injured.
She has a broken hand from, and I understand, from the struggle. She was trying to keep Andres from hurting the man. Yeah. At what point did he grab the keys and then take off?
He grabbed the keys once he saw my mom was holding me back. He used that as a chance. He got him. Yeah. And all he did was just show me some scissors he had. He knew, honestly, scissors. He didn't even, like, I don't know if he was intending, but he just showed me some scissors he had. And when my mom was holding me back, he just took it as a chance to get out the house. I was running right here. And that's when I dropped the knife once I saw him start up the truck. And when I saw him start up the truck, I kind of already knew it was over because just from looking at him, I can tell he didn't care about living no more.
He didn't care about living no more.
That's really terrifying, huh?
That's yeah, really I mean, scary. the guy had the wherewithal to grab a knife to try to protect his family.
Should have plunged the knife right into the guy's neck. No second chances.
Yeah, I think they got that work truck just a couple of weeks ago, and they need it every day for their landscaping business. So, but you said there's a GoFundMe. Did you say that?
Yeah. Yes, and here's what the keyword is. They've raised $60,889.
Oh, that'll buy a new truck.
That'll buy a new work truck.
We're getting to Tesla money.
The keyword is, or phrase, is work truck stolen with tools. And his name is Andres Benitez, A-N-D-R-E-S, and Benitez is B-E-N-I-T-E-Z. So if you type in that or work truck stolen with tools into the GoFundMe search box, then it'll pop up here. And like somebody donated $1,000, I can see.
Now, here's the other guy. Previous to stealing the work truck at the home in Whittier, this creep stole a van from a man, the guy that owned it is John Reynolds. He and his family were having a day at Knott's Berry Farm.
Oh,
I guess
man.
They parked it. Yeah, he also needs it for his business. Let's go to clip three first.
I'm a food distributor, mostly fruit. And I service convenience stores, and I have some other major distributor accounts. And so, yeah, a lot of people rely on me because their convenience stores are open every single day, and I have to make deliveries so they have products for their customers.
So you're trying to figure out what you're going to do.
Like, I'm scrambling right now.
And when I pulled up, you were saying you talked to the police about picking up your car, but we saw it on TV. What kind of condition is that van? This is the van, if everybody watching, this is the van that was involved in the pursuit before the guy got in the pickup truck and stole that. From your understanding, what's the condition of the van?
I don't know the condition of the van. I'm getting mixed reports about that. At first, they're telling me they think I'm going to be able to go and get my van and get it towed to wherever I need to because they think it's just a flat tire and they should be calling me anytime. Well, this is about an hour and a half ago and I still haven't heard from them. So I'm hoping that they're going to call me and it's still usable and I can go and pick up my van and get it towed to my mechanic and then have him take a look at it and see exactly what I need to do to get it fixed.
All right, that's from Channel 5 and KTLA Chip Yost. The what we saw in the van was the first vehicle that was stolen. That's the one where he backed in and out, hitting the police car to make his way out of that parking space.
There's probably damage on the van, but I
and
don't
think...
And then
the wheel was smoking down to the rim, right?
And he also clipped off... He sideswiped a number of cars.
Cars, right.
He kept
so it's going to need some body work and
maybe
a new axle in addition to a tire or I don't know. I feel bad for that. No GoFundMe for Josh Reynolds,
find.
Huh?
Not that I can find.
Oh, well, you know, he needs it for his business, too. But the family got the more dramatic play because they were there confronting this guy.
Yeah.
That was scary. They could have been killed by this crazy.
Yeah, and I think this truck was more heavily damaged than the other guy's van, but we'll see. I mean, you know, he can set up the GoFundMe. We'll publicize that, too.
And, you know, let's repeat this. The guy that did this, a parolee. Thank you very much, California Justice.
Yeah. Now, is anyone going to find out what his record was? Like, how many other bad things has he... I mean, he's 32, right?
32.
Okay. So he's been a criminal probably 15, 20 years. How many times... I wonder how many crimes he committed. Most he didn't get caught. I wonder how many arrests he had, convictions, and how much damage... I mean, God, a lot of people's lives were turned upside down yesterday, weren't they?
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. Well, we hope Mike Bonin's replacement on the Los Angeles City Council for District Number 11 is Tracy Park. We're going to get another voter update coming in the 4 o'clock hour, probably closer to 5 p.m., from the LA County Registrar of Voters to give us a better idea. She is leading in the votes that they have tallied so far, which should include John Cobalt's vote. I think.
Yes, I got a text, actually, from some government entity telling me they had my vote.
Oh, the day you voted? Tuesday?
Yeah, I think I got the notice yesterday. Because, you know, even on the electronic voting machine, they do have your name recorded. Here we go. John Kay, this is a message from the California Secretary of State. On behalf of Los Angeles County's Registrar of Voters, our records indicate you voted in person at a voting location. Your vote will be included in the election results. Thank you for voting.
I think that's spam. It was a bot that sent that. It's just to trick you.
It came from a number, 41575.
No, you better go check. You better go check it. Make sure it's official.
Yeah.
I thought your vote is like instantly tabulated because you did it through a machine and it just picks up the numbers. But I don't know.
Who knows? We don't really know how it works, do we?
No, I'm not so sure they do either.
I don't trust anything anymore. I got this yesterday at 8:13 a.m.
All right, so Tracy will join us after 3 o'clock, and we hope she hangs on and wins that seat. That's something. Along with Rick Caruso, we'll get a new number in that race against Karen Bass and anything else that's pending in the county.
I don't know everything about all the new council people in L.A., but Joe Buscaino was the strongest voice on the panel. He often stood by himself, but at least there was somebody there, right? True. Buscaino is now, he didn't run for re-election. But
the guy that he heavily endorsed did win the seat, so maybe that's a good thing.
I'm hoping that guy, I think his name is Tim McOscar, and then I hope Katie Park says she's going to be a big voice on this homeless stuff. Tracy Park.
I don't know who Katie Park is, but...
Let me see. Who's Katie Park? Oh, never mind.
Okay.
Long time ago.
Your mind is moving fast.
I know. It was probably a Katie Park at some point.
The L.A. County Sheriff's deputies were very busy. We told you that they were involved at the end of the chase last night, which ended at the gas station in Hacienda Heights with the creep that carjacked two cars. Well, the van was parked and nobody was in it, so I don't know if that's qualifies as a carjacking, just a stolen van. And then, of course, you got the pickup truck from the family in Whittier. This morning, you may be aware that the 101 freeway in Hollywood Hills was shut down in both directions. The sheriff's department was serving an eviction notice to an apartment in a complex on Cahuenga Boulevard. This is 7 a.m. They heard what sounded like a gunshot. And as out of an abundance of caution, John, as you know well, that's why they closed the freeway, because it was close to the freeway.
Yeah.
And obviously that resulted in massive, massive traffic backups. Well, we come to find hours later that it looks like the guy killed himself in there and was dead the whole time. But when they heard a gunshot and they weren't going to just march in there and get shot at.
Oh, yeah.
They kind of surrounded the place. They brought in the bomb squad, too, eventually.
Oh, yeah, I'd heard it was a standoff, but I guess it wasn't.
It was not.
No.
That gunshot was probably that person killing themselves.
Right.
I take it to believe it's a male, because that's usually who does that. And will this story be into, well, this is what happens when you bring back evictions. See? People can't deal with it. No, am I making the argument for you?
I'm sure somebody will say that, yeah. So that means we shouldn't evict anyone because they might kill themselves.
Yeah, did they end the eviction ban? I think that was coming to a close.
Yeah, I think it's running out at the end of the year, I think.
Nah.
There have been so many extensions, but last I remember.
And there's a pretty amusing story, but maybe dangerous story, from an El Segundo Times writer named Brittany Mejia, who apparently spent election night with LA's Democratic Socialists. Did you read this story?
Yes.
Pizza, snacks, alcohol, all came from Costco. Speakers blared among the songs. NWA's Bleep the Police.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wore pins that read Tax the Rich. Or not everybody, but a lot of them did. They were celebrating because they believed that they're getting more and more of the LA City Council seats. The main guy they highlighted was this Hugo Soto - Martinez, a labor organizer and a Democrat socialist who's supposed to knock Mitchell Farrell out of his council seat.
This is going to creep up on people the way Gascon crept up. This is a vicious anarchist group, this Democratic Socialists of America.
There will now be three.
Because we
already know about Nithya Raman, and now there's Unisys Hernandez who's going to take over the Gil Cedillo seat. So there'll be three of them.
Okay, so 3 out of 15. They've got 20% of the city council. They want to destroy capitalism.
Oh, they're nutty.
Destroy the police department. Abolish the prison system. I mean, you name it, okay? Anything about destruction of modern American life, they're there for it. And I'm sure it's another racket, the way Black Lives Matter was a racket and suddenly people are buying $6 million mansions.
The picture. Did you look at the picture? It looks like just older white males and maybe some young white females. I can't be absolutely sure, but mingling around with their alcohol at their outdoor party.
That's primarily these groups, and I remember reading about this going back over the last 20 years, because groups like this sprung up in Seattle over 20 years ago, Portland, obviously, and down here, and they tend to be white, upper middle class, or rich kids who feel like losers. And they've got a lot of personal problems, and they have a lot of family problems. The group that was going after Mitch O'Farrell for cleaning up the Echo Park Lake homeless encampment, it was led by a rich kid in his 20s whose father had won like Academy Awards in movie production. And I just every time I see a video piece, a news piece, or an article about this stuff, it's always that crowd. And it is some massive rebellion against family wealth and probably neglect. A lot of wealthy people are so much, they're workaholics, they're status seekers. They have kids as trophies. They don't really nurture them, care for them. The kids feel not only neglected, but they feel they can't compete with their parents' success, that they're always going to be a loser in comparison. Toxic combination.
They're still pushing Bernie Sanders. They're wearing Bernie Sanders caps. Boy, how old will he be in 24? He's about the same age as Biden, isn't he?
Yeah, but I mean, there'll be a new one behind Bernie Sanders. I mean, Ocasio-Cortez is probably going to be next in line.
She'll be the next, the queen of
And a few of those types got elected to Congress. I think that particular caucus is now 10 people.
All right, when we come back, her name is Tracy Park. She's been on our show a couple of times. She's got a pretty good lead over a man by the name of Aaron Darling in the race to replace Mike Bonin on the Los Angeles City Council. This is John's district, the 11th district. We'll talk to her next. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.